Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 9:30 in 716.
Well, let's say it's the four people, and they're excellent. Everyone, you can't go wrong.
All eyes on President Trump and his Supreme Court pick.
If it wasn't such a partisan time, these would be no-brainers. All of these individuals would pretty easily be approved onto the Supreme Court.
I'm Tim Wenger on 930 and 716, powered by the Brothers of Mercy, a five-star rated skilled nursing residence offering affordable living in a country setting. The president will name his Supreme Court nominee tonight, telling reporters his shortlist to replace Justice Anthony Kennedy remains at four. David Wright has more.
The president, getting ready to board Air Force One, said he hasn't yet settled on his Supreme Court pick.
Well, let's say it's the four people, and they're excellent. Everyone, you can't go wrong. But I'm getting very close to making a final decision.
One of these four judges could tip the balance on the Supreme Court for a generation. The 1973 decision that legalized abortion is just one of many issues that hangs in the balance, but it's a big one. Judge Brett Kavanaugh was asked about it at his confirmation hearings to the D.C. Court of Appeals.
I would follow Roe v. Wade faithfully and fully. That would be binding precedent in the court.
That may be one reason why Senator Mitch McConnell reportedly says Kavanaugh may have a tough time getting confirmed. Judge Raymond Kethledge has never spoken publicly about his views on Roe v. Wade. Neither has Judge Thomas Hardiman. Judge Amy Coney Barrett has said she'd have no interest in challenging the overall precedent of Roe v. Wade, but says she could envision the scope of abortion rights changing. She's a devout Catholic with seven children, two of them adopted from Haiti.
My personal church affiliation or my religious belief would not bear on the discharge of my duties as a judge.
It's the president's decision, but whoever he picks must be confirmed by the Senate.
I think my initial impression was that it'll be subdued. It'll be much more akin to the Neil Gorsuch introduction last year. But there's always the temptation with President Trump on prime time. He could do something more outlandish.
We get some pretty deep insight on the Supreme Court pick with our Supreme Court expert, Peter Iacobucci from SUNY Buffalo State, in studio with Susan Rose and Brian Mazurowski.
It is following up a very popular TV show, The Bachelorette. And so you don't know. You have to stay tuned and watch.
You know, Peter, I'm trying to think when the Gorsuch nomination was announced. Did it leak out ahead of time, or were we on pins and needles right till that announcement?
No, it didn't. For an administration that has been plagued by leaks, both of these nominations have stayed quiet, and I'm pretty amazed at that.
Because you've got to imagine that with the short list out, these four names, that media is trailing every one of these people, or at least trying to, right?
I assume that the media have people sitting at the airports and checking to see who's flying in, who's flying out. The only problem with that is all the potential candidates have flown in this last week. And so they're all there. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of the candidates that aren't picked alter at the introduction ceremony. A lot of these individuals know each other. They're friends with each other. And so while they might not get picked for the Supreme Court, they'll be happy for their colleague.
Yeah. So again, those names that are out there right now, you have Brett Kavanaugh, Raymond Kethledge, Amy Coney Barrett, and Thomas Hardiman, who that last name, I believe he was thrown about the last nomination process as kind of one of the names people were expecting, maybe, yeah, even to get a seat.
He was. You don't know, this is not a public process, but he was believed to be the finalist with Neil Gorsuch. And of course, Neil Gorsuch was given the nomination. His name was kind of forgotten in this process until the last few days. It's bubbled back up, and we've heard people that are inside the White House and people that know individuals inside the White House saying that he's getting a second reconsideration.
Go through these names, if you can, Peter, and when maybe what are the strengths for each of these candidates?
Let me just say some unifying things. Just one quirky thing. They're all from the same part of the country. They're all from Michigan, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, that part of the country. There's no West Coasters. There's no East Coasters. That's interesting to me. The other thing that's interesting is back 30, 40, 50 years ago, It was considered somewhat controversial to put a Roman Catholic onto the court. Now the Roman Catholics dominate the court, and almost all these individuals are Roman Catholics. And some of them, Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett, are very staunch Catholics and make that a very important part of their who they are and their decisions. And so that's something unique. Aside from that, all of the names that have been mentioned, except maybe Amy Coney Barrett, who is a Notre Dame law professor and just recently joined the bench, the other individuals are all well-experienced, well-established appeals court judges in the highest level of appeals besides the Supreme Court. If it wasn't such a partisan time, these would be no-brainers. All of these individuals would pretty easily be approved onto the Supreme Court.
Buffalo State College political science professor Peter Iacobucci is in studio with us this morning talking about tonight's Supreme Court pick. And with that in mind, Peter, talk about Roe versus Wade here and what could happen going forward.
Well, I think there's two possible options. I think the more likely option is you'll see a relatively conservative justice nominated tonight. That will move Chief Justice Roberts onto the center of the court. And he has shown a willingness to chip away at Roe v. Wade, allowing the states to make more and more restrictions on a woman's right to choose an abortion without outright overturning the Roe precedent. But in the history of the court, what is normal is we see that chipping away, and then at one point, the court will take the step and overturn Roe. So if I was a supporter of a woman's right to choose, I'd be very nervous about who is picked tonight.
Now, there is this kind of a sense from, well, I guess you could say half the country, that this is settled law and something that can't be overturned, even if it was brought to the Supreme Court, that it's just kind of been the law of the land for so long. It's a lot easier to, I guess, legalize something than to make something illegal again. How tough would it be for the Supreme Court to make that decision, even if it is a chipping away process?
Well, as the court is a non-political branch, meaning they don't face elections, it's not very tough for them at all. And we just saw in this last session, we saw the Abood decision overturned. That was a decision about labor union fees, dues, that had been a workable solution, had been working for decades, and the court overturned it on a 5-4 decision. So I don't think there is as much reticence of the court to overturn this precedent as people believe there is. The conservative members of the court thought back in 1992 in the Casey decision that they had a 5-4 decision, they were going to overturn Roe. And at the last minute, two of the justices changed their mind and went the other way, and to the great frustration of Antonin Scalia. And I think they've been looking for this fifth justice, and this might be the fifth justice tonight.
And you mentioned, too, that John Roberts' role may shift. Do you see him becoming like a swing vote?
I think he becomes the median vote on the court. And if that's the case, John Roberts is a very, very conservative justice. He's well remembered in America because of his vote to uphold the Affordable Care Act. But if you look at his votes over the last decade as Chief Justice, there are simply a tiny handful, maybe a half a dozen, of the hundreds of decisions he had made that would be considered as liberal. He is a staunch mainline conservative, and so it wouldn't surprise me if he allows Roe to go down.
Buffalo State College political science professor Peter Iacobucci is in studio with us. Peter's a Supreme Court expert. He's been studying the Supreme Court for years. The pick tonight, Peter, does any one of the names on the short list stand out to you?
I think they all stand out for different reasons. I think the one name that stands out to me is Amy Coney Barrett. She is a former Notre Dame law professor, staunch Catholic. She was just elevated up to the federal court just this last year in October, so she has very little experience as an appellate justice or as a judge in any way. I think that name sticks out. I think she would be a pick that would be galvanizing of both the right and the left. And she would face a very, very difficult confirmation process. I think ultimately she will get through. I think the Republicans will vote for her and push her through the Senate, but it could be a very contentious affair.
You know, something you mentioned a little bit before that's always talked about. I mean, from grade school to whenever, when you mention the Supreme Court, it's that lifetime term because you want the court to be non-political. You don't want them to, have to make a decision because they're up for re-election, something like that. How often do we see somebody be nominated to the court, kind of you think they're leaning one way or another during the nomination process. Then when they get their position on the court for life, they don't do what you expect them to all the time.
Well, I think in the past we've seen it very often. In a modern example, it's the Souter example. David Souter was nominated as a conservative and then became quite a strong member of the liberal wing. I think it's less likely to happen in the future. We've gotten so good, especially in the age of the internet, of researching these individuals and knowing exactly what they believe. We go back and look at the papers they wrote in junior high. And so now we know these people backwards and forwards. It used to be that we looked at an individual, we saw they served on a court, we saw that they were either registered as a Republican or a Democrat, and then we assumed things about them. Mm-hmm. We don't do that anymore because in many cases we've been burned by that, I guess you could say, that the individual changed their mind. There's also the process, and we've seen this through the years, is that members of the court, they mature as individuals on the court, and they become more receptive of opinions outside the opinion they brought to the court. And I think that's just a normal maturation process.
If the pick is a woman tonight, does it become more difficult for the left to try to fight that?
Oh, I think it definitely does. I think you've seen the Democrats have very successfully courted women voters and women supporters. This is the Me Too movement has almost all shifted towards support of the Democratic side. And I think if it's a woman nominated, then it becomes very difficult to say, well, we're pro-women, but not this one. The individual that gets considered is Amy Coney Barrett, is considered a finalist, is the only finalist that's a female candidate. She has she's a stellar individual. She's adopted children. There's nothing, as far as we know of, that's scandalous in her past in any way. She just happens to be very conservative, and so it makes it very difficult for the left to attack her.
Looking at the makeup, without knowing, of course, who the nominee will be tonight, but, assuming they get through, no problem, as a lot of people expect to happen by the end of this year, the makeup of the Supreme Court, what it will be like at the beginning of 2019. Can you compare that to a court in the past, something that we've seen within the last 20, 30 years as far as its makeup and the impact that court had? Might it be similar to what we're expecting in the future?
Not in the recent past. I think what we're seeing is the court, because we've gotten better at the nomination process and selecting out individuals that fit a certain ideology, we see a clear liberal wing and a clear conservative wing. That has not always been the case. There's always been the case that a few liberals, a few conservatives, and then a number of moderate justices in the middle that bounce back and forth. And so I think instead that the best example historical is if you go back to the early years of the FDR presidency, there's the famous Four Horsemen, very conservative justices on the court that fought tooth and nail with FDR and the New Deal programs. That's a possibility that these five justices, assuming the one nominated tonight is conservative, could be the one that stops a future Democratic president doing what they want to do.
And that, at the end of the day, is exactly what you're hoping for if you're a supporter of the president, right?
Sure.
Because this is the long-lasting impact a president can have.
Mitch McConnell, the minority leader for the Republicans, has made it very clear for years his number one goal is to have that backstop of conservatives on the Supreme Court.
Complete live coverage tonight beginning at 8 p.m. on WBEN 930 a.m., streaming online, and of course on the radio.com app. Back tomorrow.
That's 930 in 716. We're back tomorrow with another edition from the studios of WBEN Buffalo.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scored.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.